Stanley's no stranger to most of the folks here, but he is pastor at St. Andrew Primitive Baptist Church in Panama City, and I neglected, Brother J.C., forgive me, but I neglected to mention Sister Sarah.
That's all right.
Brother J.C. and Sister Sarah need your prayers, and we need to be praying for them every day. And so, Brother J.C., just come ahead.
It's so good to be here with you all tonight. I'm so thankful that you'd let me come and be with you. As Brother Carlton mentioned in his prayer, it's good for us to get back together again, to see one another, to fellowship with one another, to embrace one another, just to see each other face to face and share our love with each other. And I love to hear, and I love to say, I love you. I just love to be with the Lord's children and my brothers and sisters, and so thankful that we're able to once again come together and meet this way. I'm anxious to hear Brother Marty preach tonight, so I won't take long, but Brother Clayton has asked me to come in open, so I'd like to do that. I'd like to speak to you concerning the word sound, S-O-U-N-D, sound. That word sound is used in a number of ways in the scripture. Just to be very brief, it's used in some cases as a noun, some cases as a verb, and some cases it's used as an adjective. I'd like to give you a couple of the cases, and I'd like to focus our attention upon the adjective form of the word sound. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 18, just to touch there briefly, the Apostle Paul writes, But I say, have you not heard? Yea, verily, their sound, that's in the noun form, went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. And it would be good to spend a couple hours on that passage there itself. But the sound, that is the sound of their message, the message of grace, was spread over the known world. And oh, that it would be spread over the known world again. One of the blessings that's come out of this virus issue is that more and more people, churches and ministers, are delivering their messages over the internet. And more people are hearing it. In our little church there, and I know it's the case with all of our ministers who are broadcasting their messages this way, people all over the world are listening. Not only in our country, but in foreign countries as well. So there's a blessing in that sound going out into all the world. The people are responding to it. Also, Paul uses it in the verb form. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 52, he says this, speaking of the resurrection of the dead and those that will be changed, who don't die, but they'll be changed. He says, in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound. That's in the verb form. Means it's going to issue forth those sounds of whatever notes the Lord delivers that will raise the dead to life again. I suppose that the effect of that trumpet will be his command. And that command will be, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We don't know a whole lot about that other than what the Lord said. But the Apostle Paul said it's going to be like that trumpet that will sound. And this is an action by God. You know, as we hear tonight, we've sung a couple of songs that refer to our departing, and what a joy it is as we look forward to the promises that God has made for us. That one day we will hear his voice. Or as Job said, we will see him with our own eyes. We'll look at him. And can you imagine that? I just can't imagine somebody like me. I compare me to that. And look at me and I say, really, Lord, what were you thinking when you chose me? What was there about me that would make you interested in me? And I come up with a zero, except for divine grace. Okay. All right, now, but what about the adjective form, that descriptive word, sound? I want to just touch on that. And this is about 4 hours worth of preaching. We're going to condense down about 10 more minutes, and that's it. Okay, so let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul loves the word sound. He uses it over and over again, but we won't try to touch all of his. But let's begin in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. Paul, writing to the preacher Timothy, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Well, that requires a little explanation, but we won't do that tonight. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power of his love and of a sound mind." He's given us the power of a sound mind. Now, that word sound, in the adjective form that way, means steady, strong, and consistent. Out on Mexico Beach out there, when Hurricane Michael, that Category 5 hurricane, came in, it cleaned that beach out there, just wiped it clean. But there were some buildings that had pillars in them that did not move. Everything else was gone, but that pillar remained. It was sound. And there were some buildings that had a sound foundation. The building went away, but the foundation stayed. If it was properly built on that foundation, it would stay there. You know, we sing that song, "How Firm a Foundation." Well, it would sing just as well if we said, "How sound a foundation." It would be the same idea. It's firm, it's strong, it's reliable, and it don't move. Somebody that's in good health, he would say that they're in sound health. Somebody that's in good frame of mind, good active young mind, and I'm reaching the point where I don't have a young mind anymore, but a good, young, strong mind with a good memory, you could be said that it's a sound mind. You have a good memory, good logic system. And so Paul writes of a sound mind that God gives to us. Now, just to make this very brief, that sound mind that he gives us is a mind to know him. A mind that knows him is a spiritual mind, and that when you know God, even the devil knows God, but I'm talking about knowing God in a loving way. To know God in a loving way is to have a sound mind, and that sound mind stabilizes you and strengthens you and makes you resilient so that you can endure whatever storm this life blows in your path. Then he goes on. He said in verse number 8, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." That same power that has given us a sound mind. He writes to this preacher and he says, you be a partaker. You do whatever you're led of the Spirit to do, no matter how difficult it is. I will give you a sound mind. I will make you, this is to a preacher, but these are the kind of things that preachers preach to others. You know that? Right. It's not just to preachers. We preach this because I guarantee you, if we took a little poll tonight, we ask a question, has anybody in this room had any recent difficulties in your life? Had any troubles? Had a heartbreak, sadness, a fear, an anxiety, a discouragement? Have you had any of those things? Preachers must preach the doctrine. Oh, by the way, a sound doctrine, we'll come to that in a moment, because it stabilizes you and it strengthens you and makes you resilient even while the storms are raging in your life. Then he says, "Who hath saved us?" He's talking about now, he'll describe this in a moment as sound doctrine. This is doctrine that cannot be denied. When all the confusion and the strange doctrines that blow through us, they just blow and they make a lot of noise and they storm through. But this sound doctrine does not move. This truth is just as true as it was 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Paul penned it. Just as valid and vital to us today as it was then. He says, this God, the power of this God who hath saved us. I like this. I know that you know this, but just bear with me a minute, all right? This God who hath saved us. What does that tell you? Is that hard to understand? Is it? You know, it's not. But let me tell you something. When you're in a storm, when you're in trouble, you want something simple and strong to grab. If you're out there in the lake, you fall overboard the ship and you kind of the boat and you can't swim, You want something very simple, not very complicated. You want somebody to throw you a rope with a life ring on it. Is that complicated? Not at all. But that's what you need to preserve you in your distress. What we need to preserve us in the times of our present distress, in our country, in our communities, in our families, in our churches, is the simple, basic, sound doctrine that don't move. Who hath saved us, and in the context, in the grammar, hath called us. Now, what that language means, it is not complicated. He's already saved you, and he's already called you. He's not inviting you to be saved. He's not inviting you to be called as if you have some control of it. He says, this is what I have done for you. I love that. That's sound, isn't it? That's solid. That means I have a heavenly Father. The same Father that created the universe. Why, he loves me and he chose me. He chose to love me. Not only that, he has called me to spiritual life so that I can know him and love him. That's wonderful. Can you think of what? Somebody come up with a better word than that. That's wonderful, isn't it? That's comforting. That's strength. That's joy. That's stability. And by the way, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, talking about soundness, in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us that he will never not love you. I like that. You know, people talk about falling in and falling out of love and all that kind of stuff. I contend if you were ever in love, you'd never really fall out of love. Real love, don't quit. Your Father chose to love you before he even made the world. What a blessing. I love that. That strengthens me. When troubles come, when I feel alone and discouraged and cast down, well, I just remember, my God loves me. The God that said to Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And after he'd been dead for 4 days, he came out of the grave. How about that? That God loves me. Okay. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, and not according to our works, as if some might think that by your works you could accomplish these things. If it was dependent upon our works, it wouldn't be very sound, would it? All right. But according to his own purpose and grace. I love that word grace. Oh, it just is so precious to me because that tells me that my God chose me even though I didn't deserve it. He loves me even though I don't deserve his love. He secured my eternal life with him in heaven even though I don't deserve it. What a blessing. And I believe that without a possibility of error. That's sound doctrine. Which was given us in Christ when? Before the foundation of the world. Is that good news? It is so stable, so secure, so strong, so mighty that 6,000 years of this world hasn't dented it. Hasn't moved it. Verse number 11. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is. I am persuaded in the soundness of this doctrine. Persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And watch this. He exhorts the preacher. My 10 minutes is up. He exhorts the preacher, and this is us, okay? I'll quit with this, but I want to hit this, okay? He exhorts us, hold fast the form of sound words that are sound doctrine or sound teachings. Now, to hold fast, he means to don't let it slip. Don't let the teachings of these things slip away. Because one of the most devastating things that can happen to a child of God is they begin to doubt, get discouraged, and cast down, and say, are thy mercies clean gone forever? Have you forgotten to be gracious? Are you going to leave me out here in this storm all by myself? Nature will tell you that. The devil will tell you that. The adversaries will tell you that. But I'm here to tell you this evening that you cannot get in a trouble so great that your Father cannot deliver you. You cannot be in such pain, either physically or emotionally, that God cannot comfort you. You cannot feel so alone, but what the great God of glory can come to you and make you know that you're in a crowd of the children of God. And that you have a host that loves you. Hold fast the form. Now, the word form with sound is a whole different subject, and I want to hear Brother Marty preach, so I'm just going to leave that right there. Just remember, one day we may talk about that. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. One more thing, he says, that good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So what he's telling us, in every generation and every age, sound doctrine, sound words, you hold it fast. Don't let it slip. You teach it, you reteach it, and you teach it again. And you do it till we all come to the same understanding of the sound doctrine of grace. Why do we need that? Because there is no other doctrine that will stabilize you in the storms of this life. Fear, anxiety, despair, heartbreak will ruin you, but the sound doctrine of our Lord will stabilize you and hold you. When fear grips you, this sound doctrine will make you feel, well, my goodness, the war is already won. So as we turn on the evening news, if you even bother anymore, you hear all these bad things, you remember the sovereign, eternal, holy God has chosen to love you. He will never forsake you, and he'll never leave you alone. He will always keep you in his tender care, and there's nothing that can separate you from his love. May God bless you, my prayer.